you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, welcome to the show. It is Monday, the first Monday of August, Lewis. I know you don't like it when I go into the dates. I don't know what week of the year that is, but I'm gonna say like week 30 out of 52. Number one, where are all these weeks going? Because they're flying by far too fast. Secondly, happy Monday. Thirdly, what the fuck? You got an issue with me already?
No issue. I want to know if the family on the first said rabbit, rabbit, because I explained to Bisping and his family when I was up there last month, and it was the first of the month. And when you're supposed to, when rabbit, rabbit is on the first of the month, you wake up, the first word you say when you open your eyes are rabbit, rabbit. For some reason, this made Bisping angry. I have no idea why.
It's making me angry right now. To the point that I almost want to stop the podcast and restart it. I do not listen to such bullshit tittle-tattle. It comes into my mind and it goes out. Granted, there's not a gray matter in between to stop that from happening in general. But we do not pick up on the tradition of saying fucking rabbit, rabbit on the first Monday of every month. I'm not suspicious.
The first of the month.
Whatever. Is it the first of the month?
Can you ask your family if any of them said rabbit, rabbit? Because when I was explaining to them at breakfast, Bisping was like, what the fuck is this? What is this? Nobody in my family saying rabbit, rabbit.
No, I banned them all from saying rabbit, rabbit. Number one, it's the third. It's not the first. It's the first Monday, but it isn't the first. Okay? And we don't say rabbit, rabbit. Okay? We're not going any further into that topic. Okay? I don't follow voodoo rituals, you know, superstitions,
you know what I mean?
No, fucking like sitting around a fire, digging needles into little makeshift effigies. No, we're a very practical family. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, we're not religious. You know, the sun goes up, the sun goes down.
By me bringing up this rat, I don't know what it was, but it just set him off. He was not having it.
We have a long list of things to discuss. We have some excellent opening topics, and you go off on a tangent on my opening comment and go into this whole bullshit of rabbit, rabbit.
You never told me you were going to say that it was the first Monday of the month, so you inspired me.
Yeah, well, just here. This is a formal warning. I never want to hear such shit on this podcast again. Rabbit, rabbit is banned. Okay,
rabbit, it's banned.
Rabbit, rabbit. Talk of rabbit, rabbit. Rabbit, fucking rabbit. I can't even believe myself that I'm saying this. My God. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is not the first Monday of the month. It is not Rabbit, Rabbit Day. It will never be Rabbit, Rabbit Day. What's going on? We were supposed to start the show. Ooh, what? Maybe we've been sitting here 30 minutes and we were having some ideas and a little chit chat on how we could improve the show. And
it was nice.
Came up with something. Pardon me?
It was actually nice that we were having a good conversation. It was like nice to get in early.
And then Harrington says, oh, I'll go to the studio. There was a prerequisite where he had to be in the studio. Could have done it on the next episode, but whatever. And he said, and he went. He went like his life depended on it. I'm like, no. Stop him. Stop him. And then you and Brian Bell said, oh, no, he's like 4 minutes away from the studio. And even though 4 minutes, I knew Harrington disappearing into the wild, the mean streets of New York City. I knew this would not be a smooth transaction. I knew he would not log in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. It was 25 minutes, I would say.
It was an insane amount of time. It's literally, Harrington, you can come on right now. Harrington, how far do you live from the studio? How many blocks?
I live at 3rd and C, so that is a total of three streets and one avenue.
Okay, so a street is 40 seconds. An avenue is basically a minute and 10 seconds. So you're talking about literally 4 minutes from the studio. Why the fuck? And I'm not trying to be an asshole here because I love you. I'm the only reason you still have a job at Gas Digital. People don't understand behind the scenes. Everyone's like, oh, Lewis is a dickhead to Harrington. Why is he so shitty?
We're shitting on Harrington. We're not bigging you up. Continue.
It's true. Everyone would love to get rid of Harrington. I'm the reason this guy's still around. Please explain to me.
Hold on.
What took you 25 minutes?
I also want to know the answer to that, but I just want to just chime in there and say, no, I'm not trying to get rid of Harrington. I believe Harrington brings a lot of good to the show. I believe that his producing qualities are fantastic. The notes that he sends through are just tremendous. Okay, I don't want to get rid of Harrington, but I'd be lying if I didn't admit that there's a few little frustrations there. So Harrington, explain yourself.
You know, all right, so I had to pack mule a bunch of stuff back to the studio that was just lying around my apartment. So gathering all my things, getting downstairs, there was a full-on Maury episode going on between my roommate and his girlfriend that I had to work around. And then as I'm walking to the studio, I'm getting calls from people.
Time out. You just left that girl being beaten by your roommate? Harrington, there's priorities in life. Go save that girl.
Lewis, this is this guy's level of commitment to the show. You know
you
what I mean?
Come first.
Somebody's being murdered in his front room. No big deal. Phone calls galore. Phone calls galore, though. Guess what? You ignore those phone calls, Harrington. I don't care how big of a deal it is. You ignore them.
It is what it is. It's not his kid, he says. So, you know, they got to figure out what they got to figure out, and however that works out is fine by me.
Listen, we don't want to hear it. Here's what we want to say. Unfortunately, you know, we sat around. We had a little chat, didn't we, Lewis?
We did. We had a conversation.
And Brian chimed in as well. And this is tough for us, Harrington. It's tough. Don't look so concerned. You look like you're going to cry. Don't cry. Don't, or maybe do cry. We're being fitting with what we're trying to do.
Bisping, let me also just, you know, we're saying this. You're not fired, first of all. We're not firing you. Okay, don't worry about that. We're giving you some advice here about maybe some things that you should consider about your career in podcasting.
We feel that you'll never be at the elite level.
This is the truth.
And I know you think I'd be surprised, but yeah. We don't think you'll ever be at the elite level.
Right now, it's pretty obvious that you have one foot out the door, okay? And you're looking at the future, and you can't do this forever.
Are you calling me like a B-plus player?
I mean, the reality of your skill set is I just don't see you beating the elite guys. I mean, when you've got a guy, you just said that's got one foot out the door. I mean, there's a lack of fluidity of movement there that you just don't have, Harrington.
Look, a lot of things look bad. You look stiff. You don't look well prepared. You look very stiff.
Very stiff.
I'm wondering, like, who you're quoting at this point. Because
what are you talking about? We're not quoting anybody. We're talking about you and your shitty podcasting.
I don't know where we're going with this, and I'm very confused. All I know is I have never been more committed to anything in my life than I am to Believe You Me. I think you both know that. I think you both know I'm committed to excellence and bringing the show to the next level.
All right. Well, that's okay. We'll let this be a lesson to you. Okay. And we'll move on. I'm sure some people on YouTube will figure out what we just did. Maybe you won't. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. Maybe one day we'll turn the lights on. But you know what? Funnily enough that we are just having a little laugh with what we just did there. But hold on. Screen recording. Zoom would like to record. Deny. Whoa, what's going on? Zoom's acting weird. Sorry. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I should be fired now.
Fucking amateur hour.
I know. What is going on? You know, at the weekend, how did we get into this? Brian Callen had to... We're not getting into this, by the way. We're not here to certainly shit on Brian Callen because it's a very difficult situation, obviously. There was an LA Times piece last week. Some women came out of the woodwork. One claimed that she was raped, and a couple of others chimed in as well. Obviously, I don't know anything about the situation. I haven't spoke to Brian Callen. He's came out. He's denied it strongly. Which is what we wanted to discuss, that side of things. But before we move on, I don't know, what do you got to say, Lewis? Anything?
I mean, look, it is a hard situation. And, you know, the reality is, like, the problem with this cancel culture thing that exists, because it does exist, is that if you come out and say, like, well, you know what? I think everybody deserves due process. Just that alone. That sentiment, that has like this whole charged thing where people will go like, oh, you're being a rape apologist, or you're siding with the man automatically. It's like, no, I'm just saying, I don't know either of these people. I'm saying two people are saying two different things that are vastly, vastly different. And I think that we shouldn't always jump to conclusions and try to destroy people based off of an accusation. Now, I have a lot of mutual friends with Brian Callen. We take our shots at the fighter and the kid here. We fuck around. We do the same thing with Jim Norton.
It's all in good nature.
It's all in good fun. And I don't wish that upon anybody. I don't wish sexual assault upon anybody, but I also don't wish, you know, losing your career or having the risk of losing your career upon anybody. So the whole situation, it makes me just go like, fuck, dude, I'm not envious of anybody in the situation. Yeah. What I hope it's untrue. And I don't hope that he's being falsely accused, but I hope it's untrue. And I hope the way that he responded was enough that it would be able to salvage his career. And I think that's sort of the conversation that we can, you know, have a little more openly, which is like, how do you respond to something like that? Do you go at it heads on like Brian Callen did, because he released a video and he said, I adamantly deny this. Or do you sort of disappear and try to let the news cycle pass you over like Chris D'Elia just did? And it's like, there's two different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the older saying in the book is, anytime it comes to any kind of criminal charge, which this, I guess, in a sense is, right? She hasn't been to the police or anything like that, but we're talking about a potential crime. And the oldest expression in the book, in the judge, in the courts, is innocent until proven guilty. But unfortunately, with this type of stuff, you know, everyone seems to be the judge, jury, and executioner. And some people will come out and defend him, but a lot of people, I saw Amy Schumer, the obviously very well-known female comedian, she fucking talked a lot of shit on her Instagram about him. Yeah. Obviously, I don't know, maybe there's some kind of beef there. But it should be innocent until proven guilty. You know, his buddy Chris D'Elia actually had some allegations, and we touched on that a little bit. Again, that's not what we're here to do. That's not what this podcast is about. We're stupid. We take the piss. We have fun. We talk about the fights, and we get a little silly, you know. But I saw that at the weekend, and I was like, holy shit. I mean, and we were discussing off air, and that's why we decided to do this, because you said, I said, I feel like what Brian Callen did was the best course of action. He came out, he put a video out there. He first of all put a statement, then he put a video out there strongly denying these accusations. And then Chris D'Elia, he didn't. By the way, I'm a huge fan of both of these guys, by the way, so I get no pleasure from discussing this whatsoever. And right. Chris D'Elia, tremendous, tremendous talent, great actor, excellent stand-up comedian. He's made me laugh my fucking ass off. But he's gone radio silence. He's been dropped by his fucking agent, which is terrible. He's deleted all or turned off the comment ability on all of his Instagram. Mm. And again, if
and
you just
gone silent completely, like no statement, silent. No nothing. Actually, I shouldn't say this, no statement. I shouldn't say that, because he released a statement to TMZ initially denying it. It was one quick little blurb.
Yeah, and the reason we brought it up slightly was just to discuss the two different topics, not to go into detail on whether or not these accusations are true in any way. Because
there's
that's
no way
not
to know that. Anybody who makes a decision that doesn't know the parties involved and goes, "I know what happened," they're stupid. Yeah. Nobody has any fucking actual hard evidence for you to say, "I believe this guy" or "don't believe this guy" based off of anything except for a gut feeling. That's a little bit ignorant to say. So we don't need to give those opinions, because the reality is neither of us truly know. And it would be ignorant to pretend like we know.
What we were just looking at and just discussing was the two angles, right? Obviously, D'Elia went radio silence, and Brian Callen came out and vehemently.
I think you put another syllable in there, but that's okay.
Vehemently.
Fucking former world champion. You put as many syllables as you want, bro.
Vehemently denied it, okay? Strongly, very strongly denied it. And we were just chatting whilst we waited for fucking Harrington. And if we weren't waiting for Harrington, this conversation wouldn't have even come up.
Maybe it's
and
a
as
good
we
thing.
Were chatting, I said, oh, he denied it. I said that, and I said, that's kind of where D'Elia fucked up a little bit, because it looks like you're guilty, although it doesn't. And then Brian chirped up, our producer, and was like, oh, no, that was genius of Chris D'Elia. The fact that he denied it and just went radio silence, I feel that that was the best defense. And I was like, wow, I don't really agree with that. I'm not sure. So it's an interesting topic. Do you deny? Do you stay quiet? You know, because like because Brian, just come on, Brian, and explain your point a little bit. You said that by Brian Callen strongly denying it, vehemently denying this situation.
I think it's vehemently. Vehemently.
I know it is. I'm saying it for the sake of the pod.
I know.
Okay.
You are.
Right. Vehemently denying. Okay. You feel that that makes him look guilty, which I think is a crazy logic.
No, the internet gets bored really quickly with things that they aren't. That isn't thrown in front of them, right? So Chris D'Elia disappears, and in a year when he gets booked on a new show, nobody remembers. But Brian Callen sitting there adamantly denying it over and over again just gets more and more comments on it, more and more.
I get what you're saying. It creates a volley. And I used to agree with Brian. I used to think like, yeah, in that case, let it go away. People get bored. It's a volley. They want to go back and forth. But it sort of has, in my opinion, I think it's sort of changed a little bit. I think now cancel culture has become a game. I think there's a lot of people that don't give a shit. Most people don't really give a shit. They want to jump on board to a hashtag. They think it's kind of funny to watch people get canceled and lose their shit, right? So I think now, look, dude, if I got fucking accused of some shit, I mean, there's no way I'm going to go silent. There's no way I'm disappearing off my podcast. There's no way that I'm going to get off social media. I'm denying it. I'm fucking going to everybody. I'm going to everybody I know and saying, hey, dude, I did not do this. You are out of your fucking mind.
I understand what Brian's saying. I understand that. But still, you know, you got to come out. I mean, I have a real trigger mechanism in my body. If I'm accused of doing something I didn't do, I fucking flip out. And people say, oh, you're denying it so strongly, or you're protesting your innocence so strongly. You must
more
be
angry.
Guilty. It's like... What do you mean I must be guilty? I am saying, fuck you. I didn't do this. Oh, ho, ho. That's what
he's
a guilty person
guilty.
Would say.
He's
no,
acting guilty.
No, that's what an innocent.
And then you flip out more and more, and they trick you into fucking turning into a
that
lunatic.
That is what an innocent person would say. It's just saying, well, silence, nothing, because I'm innocent. No, fuck that. I'm going to speak up.
Well, that's a control thing. So on the other side of it, they go like, oh, look, this is how a guilty person would act. And no matter what you do, they can do that. And you go, ah. Oh. That's just sort of control. So I guess there's a real conversation there. I mean, look, Joey Diaz, you know, he had that thing happen where they were, you know.
Yeah, no. I don't want to go through them all and go into detail and all that type
of stuff. No, you don't
need
to, but I'm saying he went straight at them on Twitter and said, fuck this. This is what I, you know, this is what I do. And, you know, these are stories that I tell, and this is my past. And, you know, I think that disappearing, I feel like if you look guilty, it looks like you're laying down and going like, oh, look, you got me. And I don't know. I mean, there's obviously a debate there. I mean, you know, Chris D'Elia has done very well in his career thus far. So who the fuck am I to tell him how to run his career? But I just feel like Callen, I give Callen some respect for it, at the very least, if it's not true, for, you know, going at it head on.
Well, I wish them both the best. I really do. You know, unless they're one of them is a pedophile and one of them's a rapist, then obviously I don't. Okay. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't condone. This is because I've lived in America. Pedophiles. No.
Somebody actually made this joke on the Fighter and the Kid subreddit. The Fighter and the Kid is what you call D'Elia and Callen's victims. The Fighter and the Kid.
Who would be the fighter though?
The rape victim, and the kid is the pedophile.
Okay. Anyway, listen. As I say, we're not here to shit
good
on
joke.
Them. I feel
solid
like you're still trying to shit on them.
I'm not shitting on them. I haven't shit once. I've literally
you
just.
You know,
been...
but you're bringing it up time and time again. Moving on. Let's move on.
We haven't moved on. Now we're moving on.
No. Yeah. I'm trying to find a way to segue, but you just keep going back though on the subreddit. Here's another one. No more subreddit talk. Okay. There are a bunch of 12-year-olds.
Easy. Whoa, baby boy. They're on our fucking side.
Now
that the Fighter and the Kid is over, we need those motherfuckers.
Listen. If you're on the subreddit of Believe You Mean, then of course you're a way more distinguished internet browser. Okay. Yeah. Your intelligence level, your acumen is way higher.
The Fighter and the Kid guys. Those are new. They don't have a podcast anymore. Callen said he's taking a leave of absence.
Is he so, really?
Yes. In his video at the end of it, he said he's taking a leave of absence from the podcast.
Well, I will vehemently say that if you are a subredditor of the Fighter and the Kid, come on over. Our doors are open, baby boy. We're open for business. We are officially open. The quarantine will not stop us. All right, let's just take a second to hear from CBD MD. Listen, you've heard about CBD. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. You can't move. You can't go on social media without an advertisement for CBD. But here's the kicker. You want the good stuff. You want the good shit. You want the stuff that's actually going to help. You want the best prices per milligram. And you also want the best quality CBD. I know I almost said the best prices twice, because you do want the best prices. I'll say it twice. I'll say it three times. You want the best quality for the best price. And you want a variety of ways to ingest the best CBD on the market, Lewis?
I'm telling you right now, CBDMD has a whole bunch of different products. They use broad spectrum extraction, which combines CBD oil with additional terpenes, amino acids, and other cannabinoids for added benefits. Everything from topical creams to gummies that you can ingest to droppers. They have literally every single type of CBD that you want. I've been using the Freeze cream. I hurt my foot training the other day. I kicked my training partner's kneecap, and my foot has been hurting for 3 days. Been using the CBD every morning on it, putting a little bit of ice at night. Today, walking around like nothing happened.
Well, all you got to do is learn how to kick properly. Not only will you stop yourself being injured, you'll also not have to waste money on CBD. Okay? Simple as that. Just learn how to kick properly, Lewis. But seriously, CBDMD, as I say, best prices per milligram, highest quality CBD on the market and a variety of ways. I love the Freeze. I love the Revive. I love the Recover, the gummies, the drops. They got it all. Check it out. CBDMD.com is the website. And BYM 20 is your code to get 20% off your initial order. Again, cbdmd.com. Code is BYM20, 20% off. All right, enough of that. Where were we? Okay, we were going to start getting into all the fight stuff. Excuse me. But Rebecca just walked in a few minutes ago and off air, just real fast, showed me a video of her falling off a horse. Literally, she goes horse riding 3 times a week. I'm like a widow now. I'm like a absent father or whatever the expression is. I have no wife. She's that rules the roost, okay? The horse riding. And she comes and shows me a video of her falling off said horse. Very, very dangerous, Lewis. I don't want to lose my wife to a horse riding accident. My good mate, Daryl Aslan from Clitheroe back in the day, very, very sadly lost his girlfriend in a horse riding accident. The horse fell on top of her and she passed away. So it's a Jesus. Very, very dangerous, dangerous hobby, Lewis.
The problem is when people die in horse riding accidents, and this, I'm not saying this about your friend at all, but it's like, it's such a highfalutin thing that I think the common person doesn't ever care. They're like, yeah, all right, good for them. Fucking asshole. Riding a horse like a dickhead.
What if you were raised in Texas or Arizona and you were lived in 1800s? Yeah, you were a fucking cowboy back in the day. Yeehaw, yippee-ki-yay, and the horse fell on me. I had a bad day. Okay, right. That doesn't mean that it's highfalutin. That doesn't mean you think all these cops and robbers, all these bandits with their fucking masks on, fucking coming through town, fucking slaying, raping and pillaging. You think they're highfalutin, Lewis?
No, I guess you're right. If this was the old west, you're right. yeah, dude, that's crazy. It is really dangerous. Now that I have a kid, I don't want to do dangerous activities like that. Like I've always wanted to go skydiving. Which have you ever done that?
I went indoor skydiving recently. We'll leave that there.
That doesn't count.
No. Skydiving, I would love you would to do it. I mean, same here. I've always wanted to do it. Now, of course, you have to, if you're ever going to do it, you're going to start. You're going to do a tandem skydive, right? You're going to be strapped to the back of somebody. And that's the bit that really pisses me off. You know, because if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to jump out of an airplane, and that just sounds insane to even say, if I'm going to jump out of an airplane, right, I'm not going to do that frequently. It's not going to be a thing I get into, you know, so I just want to do it one time and pull that cord. Give me a little earpiece and say, okay, now's the time, baby. Boom. Rip that cord, glide down to earth. Now, of course, it's not that easy. You saw me in that skydiving thing. All over the place, making a goddamn fool out of myself. So I'm assuming the real thing is also hard. But that said, pull that cord, baby boy. Up comes the parachute, and you just gently glide down.
I'm terrified of heights. I'm terrified of cliff diving. I'm terrified of all these things. And I have a little bit of a thrill. You know, I'm a thrill seeker a little bit. I'll go on roller coasters. I'll do things like that. But I won't do skydiving now because I have a kid. I want to get a motorcycle. Now that I'm moving out to Jersey, I want to get a motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
But I'm not going to do it because people get into accidents all the time. I'm a clumsy fucking asshole. And I'm going to, you know, just be riding my motorcycle down the street one day and I'm going to flip it into a fucking oncoming traffic. And that's that. So I just have a fear of dying young at this point. So I wouldn't do it. So the horse riding thing would scare me if I were you, just because, like, I know it's awesome, but it is sort of like risk versus reward. How often do people get hurt on horses? Is it like a regular occurred thing?
I have no idea. If we had like a really good producer, they could be Googling these facts and chiming in. I mean, we have one really good one. We have one that's on shaky ground right now. Thin ice. No. Maybe he wants to redeem himself with a few Factor Mundos. But still, no chiming, no butting in, no information.
More than just death, though. It's like how many accidents where people get paralyzed. Like Christopher Reeve, Superman. Remember, he got paralyzed on horseback. I'm sure that happens. You break.
Well, he ultimately died.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he died of. Was that complications of the accident? I'm not sure. But Lewis, I'll just say this. Don't get there. No, it wasn't kryptonite. Brian just, no, he went, he came again.
He came and saw.
He conquered.
It says over 100 people a year are estimated to die from equestrian related activities, with 10 to 20 times as many head injuries occurring for each fatality.
Yeah, because it's how high is a horse? It's like 6 feet tall. Like you're falling off like a huge platform.
Well, it depends. You know what I mean? Hands is the how they measure a horse. And it depends, you know, how long's a piece of string. Horses are, no, they're all different sizes. Every horse is not 6 feet. Okay. I was just going to say, don't get a motorbike, Lewis. They're death traps. Anybody listening to this that rides a motorcycle? Yeah, great. Good for you. But I don't see you. If you're going to get a motor transportation, Lewis, just get a bloody car. Okay.
I'm going to get a car as well, but to get in the city and out, like, all right. So in New York, they have these Revel bikes that you could rent. They go 30 miles an hour. They're electric scooters and they're awesome. You just zip through traffic, but two people have died in the past 2 weeks on them. And this goes 30 miles an hour. Like, this is not even fast. And they just,
do you know how
lame
you're going to look? What do you call them again?
They're Revel bikes. They're electric scooters.
Lewis rolling in on his electric scooter. You ain't getting no brownie points for that. You're talking shit about my Maserati back in the day. I'll take my Maserati over your Revel bike any day.
Yeah, well, we'll see how easy you can find parking.
Yeah.
We'll see how quickly you can get across town in rush hour traffic, Mr. Bisping, in your Maserati.
Well, anyway, we're not here to discuss the pros and cons of e-bikes versus actual cars. We're here to maybe discuss some facts. Anything else you want to get into before we move on and address Hamilton's notes or no?
No, let's get into the fights. We have another show we're doing this week as well. So there's other things we can talk about. I am building a home gym and I want to talk about that, but let's save that for Thursday.
That's okay. We can talk about that. I was literally asking, was there something else? The answer is yes.
Well, yeah, we were discussing this before. I'm building a home gym, and it is so much more expensive than you think. It's like, yeah, you're talking about how much would you think it costs just for like a pair of 35-pound dumbbells? Just two 35-pound dumbbells.
Yeah, well, no, I have a home gym, and I've purchased all this equipment over the years.
But you didn't purchase this during the fucking pandemic where they have increased the pricing of everything by like an insane amount. Shut up.
Listen.
I'm trying to do your dumb accent thing.
Purchased. No. See, here's the thing, Lewis. What you have to realize is Rome was not built in a day. And of course, you're moving into the house. You want it. You want 24-hour fitness in your garage overnight. Baby boy, my workout space, my garage, it is a gym now. I don't really need to go anywhere. I'm still going to add a couple of things. But you see that, what I said there? I'm going to add a couple of things, incremental, baby steps. Get the first things and add slowly but surely. Maybe you got a good Instagram following and people send you stuff for free. I don't know, but I do. But it is how you want to start. You know what I mean? Just get a few little light things to start. Of course, the dumbbells are a good way to go. The power butt dumbbells are awesome.
How much do you think a pair of 35-pound dumbbells cost?
Okay, a pair of 35-pound dumbbells. Are we talking cast iron?
The shittiest ones you can fucking find.
All right, so the rubber.
Rubber, octagon, fucking, or
35-pound dumbbells. I'm going to say $2 per pound, so $70.
$4 per pound right now is the average.
$140.
It used to be $1 per pound before the pandemic kicked in. It's averaging $4 per pound for weights right now, plates. So we're talking about, to have just a set of, I would need, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65. That's just a sort of, like dumbbells, you sort of need that. if you want to fuck around with chest.
Let's be honest. You don't need 65, 70 pound dumbbells. You don't.
For chest, a heavy day,
Yeah. But you just get a rack for that. Do you know what I mean? The dumbbells. Well,
guess what? Now I got to find plates. Same thing, $4 per pound. A 45 pound plate is costing me $180 for one plate.
Yeah, no, I know. But listen, you got to do it in bits. And I know you want it all done overnight, but obviously that's going to cost you a fucking fortune. Like I have a squat rack in there that I bought from Dick's Sporting Goods. It was a few hundred bucks, right? You get the rack, I got the bar. I had to buy some weights separately, a couple of hundred bucks, a set of plates, 245s, 235s, 225s, a 10, a 5, two and a half.
I'm just going to steal them from your place when I come.
Right, so you buy the rack, you buy that, and then a bit later you buy a punch bag, right? Then you get some dumbbells. You start off with the TRX. The TRX system is fucking awesome. That'll cost you $60, $70.
Yeah.
TRX will give you a fucking killer workout. You get a couple of those little things, forget what you call them, to do push-ups on. That'll cost you $15.
Oh, perfect push-up.
Say again?
Perfect push-up.
You know those like things, I forget what you call them. Yeah, but it makes a push-up harder. So now you got your TRX, you got your bag, you got that, you got bit by bit, baby boy. And
can
then this time next year, right, you're like, then you really show it off. You're like, oh yeah, this is my workout area, this is where I hit the
bag. I gotta fight Jason Ellis in 6 months. I don't got another year to build up my gym. I need my gym to be state-of-the-art, fucking ready to go, baby boy. I need to be able to work out 6 days a week. There's no waiting a year.
Yeah, but you're never going to be able to train for a fight in your garage.
Want to bet?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've seen it. I mean, you are talking some fucking old school fucking Rocky goes to Russia bullshit there. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a great house. It's got a sauna. What am I saying? No, you're not Rocky. You're fucking Ivan Drago
Your
sauna and your steroids. I know what you're doing up there in New York, Lewis.
I'll tell you right now, the only reason I bought this house is because I went in the garage and I made a joke. I was like, if I owned this place, I would put a sauna back here. And then I left and I came back and I was like, let me look back here and what this room is. And whoever had the place before must have turned the garage into a gym, because sure enough, they built a fucking full-fledged wooden sauna back there. And that was that. That was like, yeah. I was like, all right, this is my place. And then there's a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu place 2 blocks away for my son to go to. So there was a couple little signs that I was like, all right, this is great. So, but it's going to cost an insane amount of money to build, but I've always wanted as a man, maybe, and I'm sure people can definitely relate to this. There's just something as a man that I've always just wanted to have, like an at-home gym in the garage, throw some weights around, have some speakers, a little bit dusty, some heavy metal music playing, just being a fucking dude.
Yeah. I mean, I had a good workout in my garage this morning. The problem is that Callum goes in there a lot and does not clean up after himself. So if James grows up and decides to use the home garage, whip it into him from an early stage that he has to clean up. He has to take all these glasses of the water, the shoes, the plates have to be put back, the dumbbells back in their rack. Do you know what I mean? This motherfucker, it's grimy in there, but the sauna's nice. I've been trying to get a sauna for a while. I kind of gave up, but earlier in the pandemic, I wanted a sauna at home. I was looking online at the mall and I found the one I wanted, but then the power source, it needs a different power source. Then I've got to get an electrician in. He's got to drill into the wall. He's got to change the power source.
What do you mean it needs a different power source?
Yeah, because I messaged them on Instagram, you know, trying to get a little freebie sauna. And they were going to send me one.
We are scumbags.
Hey, bro, listen. I say, hey, you want to send me a sauna? I'll give you a few little Instagram posts. They're like, yeah, sure. They say, oh, FYI, Mike, you need to have this kind of power outlet. It's a different type of power outlet. I forget. I could bring up the message, but it's very boring. It's electricity talk. I'm not an electrician.
So the same way when you go to Europe, it's a different plug that you have to put under the wall, essentially, you know,
Yeah, and it's not just a case of getting an adapter either. The power source has to be stronger, is what they were telling me. I was like, oh fuck. So now you're gonna get in a converter, a fucking transducer.
Just that little box.
What is the word? The converter for the electricity? I don't know what you call it, but it's a whole fucking thing, Lewis.
Wait a minute, just that little box. That little box needs a different pair, because I'm nervous now because my sauna has just a regular plug that you plug it into.
Now I'm gonna have to. No. Whatever. Yeah, listen, I can't bring up the message. I forget the name of the company.
We really are.
But still.
Listen, nobody's relating to our home sauna solutions.
Yeah, no, I know. But they might know the issue with the plug. Here's what I will say. If you live in Orange County and you want to come fucking do my power system, you want to hook me up with a sauna, I'll pay for the sauna. If you want to hook up the sauna, you got a job right here. Anyway, enough of that. Enough saunas. Enough this, that. Let's get into the fights of the weekend.
Let's do it.
And right at the top, I want to discuss this. Let's see how well Harrington compiled these notes, because as we know, we're still going through a pandemic, which is unfortunate. And as we know, the UFC are doing a fantastic job of still putting fights on back to back to back. But of course, there is problems. And of course, there is weight cut issues that happen naturally. There is always problems. You know, sometimes fighters have problems. They have issues. They have all that type of stuff. But then you put all that together, then you got a big fucking problem.
Mr. Bisping, let's take a quick second and thank BlueChew.com. I love Blue Chew. Blue Chew is essentially performance enhancement drug for the bedroom. If you want to go a few extra rounds, if you don't know how much manhood you have inside of you, well, guess what? There's probably a little bit more. You guys have heard of drugs like Viagra and Cialis. This is a cheaper, faster, better solution.
Lewis, I just want to say for the record, and I don't care what your sexual persuasion is, I've never had any manhood inside me. Okay, you said you want to check what kind of manhood I've got in me. Never had any. Okay. Yeah. I put my manhood elsewhere. I don't take it, but that's okay. Whatever floats your boat in the year 2020, your significant other, shall we say, if you want to make your significant other happy, then this is the way to do it. All you got to do is go to BlueChew.com, and then you get online physician very quickly. No driving in traffic, no risking coronavirus, no sitting in a depressing doctor's waiting room to go in and say that, you know, you want to have a better performance in the bedroom. That's an awkward conversation. Nobody wants to have that. Okay, nope. This way you just go online. It's very, very quick. It's cheaper than the main competitors, Viagra and Cialis.
Well, that's the thing. Not only that, you go there and then you're like, shit, I had to have that whole weird conversation with my doctor. Oh, that sucked. That was embarrassing. Then they give you a little slip and they say, well, now, you know what? Go have the same conversation at the pharmacy with the girl that works behind the counter. You got to do it all over again.
Now, the plus side is when you get to the pharmacy, there might be a hot chick that's serving you, and she might be like, whoa, this guy's buying Blue Chew. He's obsessed with being a great sexual partner. Maybe this good-looking chick or maybe the good-looking guy says, hey, you know, I see you getting the Blue Chew. Obviously, you can go a few extra rounds. Want to take my number? That is the only downside of doing it through BlueChew.com.
Yes, that is also true. You're probably not going to get picked up or hit on by the pharmacist, but you know what? It's easier, it's more convenient, and overall, it's better. The best part of all of this is we're going to give you a free trial of Blue Chew. You hear us talking all this shit. We're supposed to talk that good shit. That's what we do. But guess what? We are going to put our money where our mouth is, because you do not have to pay anything. All you got to do is go to BlueChew.com. When you check out, use the promo code BELIEVE, B-E-L-I-E-V-E. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. It's going to come to your house in discreet packaging. It's going to show up. You're going to love it. You're going to be like, holy shit, I am now addicted to Blue Chew. I'm sure they don't want us to say that you're going to get addicted to Blue Chew, but what do you want me to say? I am.
Don't mention the addiction, okay? People struggle. Sexual addiction is a real thing, is a curse.
I know.
So it's a gift and a curse, let me tell you. But as you said, go to BlueChew.com and use the code, what was it, BYM?
Believe.
Oh, the code is believe. What am I saying? I don't know whether I'm coming or
all
going.
All the blood is rushing from coming. Your head to your penis. You can't even think right now.
To your PP, the code is believe. The website is BlueChew.com, and the code is believe. And believe you me, you'll be a happy man, and your sexual partner will be happier. Okay, let's move on. Harrington, I'm looking for the part I asked you to compile it all. Oh, here it is. So we had a bunch of stuff at the weekend. We had positive tests. We had weight cut issues. We had fighters fainting right before they were supposed to go on, and fighters fainting after they'd had their fights. I mean, it really was. I mean, typically a UFC fight card starts, I think, roughly on average 14 fights. But at the weekend, I believe it was a 7-fight card. Now, fortunately, and I might be wrong on this, but I think I'm correct, it was aired exclusively on ESPN. ESPN Plus, pardon me. And ESPN Plus, that's the app. You know what I'm saying? So there's no real strict schedules. It's all digital. It's on demand and things like that. But had that been on ESPN, or I'm assuming it would have been on BT Sport, I don't know. I guess that would bring some kind of issues, right? Because they've got to fill a time slot. They have allotted schedules for this show, and they've got to keep people talking. So when they do that, that's when they cut in between fights. If there's a quick knockout, they'll go to the desk, and the desk will fill 5-10 minutes. They'll talk about the main event, the co-main event. But when you get fucking hell, God knows how many fights thrown off the card. I mean, that's very problematic for the UFC. But as usual, they found a way through it, Lewis.
Do you remember back in the day with the UFC pay-per-view broadcasts? This doesn't happen anymore. I have no idea why. But I guess it's because they're showing all of the prelims now, and they would just fill it up. They have more personalities. They could do interviews. They could do promos. They have a lot more production, I guess. So that's the answer. But
what's the question?
Back in the day, what they would do is they would if let's say it was three or four fast knockouts before the main event, they would show an undercard fight on the pay-per-view. And it was like, that was like sort of an extra little bonus for the guys that weren't really being televised.
Yeah, you know, sure. And they still do that now and again. And it's for that reason. You know, if the pay-per-view, I mean, of course, they want to give value for money to their customers. I think first and foremost, that's the main reason. And then they want to make sure the product is the allotted time. You know what I mean? They want to fill that airtime. So, I mean, let's just go through these problems that they had at the weekend. First of all, the main event was supposed to be Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana. Well, that got canceled because Aldana got COVID. So that was off. Trevor Giles versus Junyu Park. Park withdrew. Ed Herman versus Daun Jung. Jung withdrew. Jennifer Meyer versus Viviana Arujo. Well, Arujo, she tested positive for COVID. Ray Borg versus Nate Maness.
I'm sorry, Mike. When it says withdrew, why did they withdraw?
I was just about to say this on this one. I was going to get to Harrington. Okay, don't worry about it. It's coming. You know, Jennifer Meyer versus Viviana Arujo. Arujo tested positive for COVID. Fair enough. Good explanation, Harrington. Ray Borg versus Nate Maness. Borg withdrew. Next one, Jamal Emmers versus Timur Valiev. Valiev withdrew. Harrington, would you care to explain or expand on withdrew? Perhaps just a note for your notes going forward. Elaborate.
Well, Mike, I genuinely wish I could, but I can't. All I have for Ray Borg is he withdrew for personal reasons. Like, there's no explanation given for a lot of these, which is what led a lot of people to like raise their eyebrows. Like, why are so many people dropping off?
I wish you would withdraw from life, Harrington. I really do.
Well,
just hurtful, Lewis.
That's a little bit nasty, Lewis. And I've got to say, Harrington gave a fantastic explanation. I guess you could spend all morning on Google, but you wouldn't be able to find. The official stance was that they withdrew, and that's
Devil's advocate, benefit of the doubt. I bet you could find out why some of these people withdrew.
But guess what? I'm not done with the list of issues. We got more, baby boy. Ed Herman versus Gerald Meerschaert. Meerschaert got a positive COVID test on the day of the fight. So, of course, his fight was off. Then Kevin Holland versus Trevin Giles. Giles fainted backstage right before the fight, right before he was supposed to walk out. Because I was sat at home and I was watching the production. And then Heidi Angel comes on the screen and she's like, yeah, because that was the scheduled bout. They were supposed to make their walk right then and there. And he was backstage. And of course, Trevor Giles, you know, it sounds like the nerves, the situation got to him. And unfortunately, he passed out. And apparently, I read he was unconscious for like 10, 15 seconds. Now, of course, if you're fainting backstage, there's no way in the world they're going to let you walk out and fight.
Damn it. That would just suck. You wake up, you're like, what the hell? All right, I want to fight. And they're like, nope, not happening. You got a feel for him. I mean, who knows? Somebody else fainted, right? Wasn't there another person?
So Joanna Calderwood, she fainted after the fight.
After the fight, right.
We'll get into that fight later, but just going back to Trevin Giles, I mean, I do feel for the guy. I mean, number one, he's got to be pretty embarrassed, right? And then he's worked his ass off and it's all taken away from him. Now, fortunately, I think they're going to rebook that fight pretty soon. They did try and have Kevin Holland fight Ed Herman. Kevin Holland was willing to go up a weight class and fight Ed Herman, but Ed Herman apparently by that point was already pissed off, making his way to the airport and had a few drinks, you know, which of course I get that, but it's a shame that never happened. I would have liked to see that one. Wow. But for Trevin Giles to pass backstage, right, you got to remember, you know, it's hard. People walk out into the octagon time and time again, so it seems normal, you know, but that time, when you're backstage about to walk out, and back in the day it would be Burt Watson, but you're waiting for whoever it is now to come on. It used to be, we're rolling, baby. All right, this is what we do and why we do it. And then Burt would walk you out and fucking, oh, you got the chills. And you're like, oh, and the anticipation. It's a motherfucker, you know? And you're like, you start to think, did I do everything I could to prepare for this fight? Did I do the road work? Did I stick to my diet? Did I do enough sparring? Did I drill escapes to rear naked chokes enough? Because he's going to fucking kill a rear naked choke. And all this self-doubt and stuff, you know, you got that little devil on the shoulder and you got the angel on the other side and they're both fucking talking away to you. And you got to be able to handle that.
They're both giving you terrible ideas. Neither one of them are giving you any confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fuck off, the pair of you. But then, unfortunately, the guy passed away. You know, it reminds me, this is a funny story. Back in the day, 2010, I did this soap opera in England called Hollyoaks. Anyone that's English will know Hollyoaks. So once a year, they did Hollyoaks later. I was just like, ooh, a little bit risque, a little more adult storylines, maybe the odd F-bomb, you know what I mean? Things like that. Maybe a little bit of side boob, you know what I mean? A lot more sex scenes. In fact, my first scene in that, I was supposed to meet coming whilst banging some chick. And I'm like, no way, I'm not doing that. And they went, no, Mike, that's the script. You got to, you know, you're just climaxing and you got to do that and then zip your pants. But I'm like, no way. They went, why not? I said, listen, I take my career as a professional fighter very seriously. And if I'm on TV going, ooh, like just climaxing, I said, that meme will follow me around forever.
They're going to make a GIF of you doing it just now. I hope they do.
Well, whatever, but that's okay. I didn't go, I didn't elaborate on it too much. I didn't, you know, there wasn't a zoom. They didn't zoom in, hold it. Ooh. No, so
would you do it now, though? Now that you're more serious about acting? Because that was Michael Bisping 2010. Yeah, now it's a different style. Now they come to you.
Well, the compromise was I'm just zipping up my pants. And I'm like, good job there. Nice one. Go on, get us a drink. Get us a coffee. Okay. No, but anyway, when I was filming Hollyoaks, and one of these guys, Ian Munsberger, sorry to shame you, Ian, that I used to train with. He got a part in Hollyoaks as well, but he wasn't an actor, you know, and he was trying to, you know, foray into that world, shall we say. But it's fucking hard. You're on set. You got all the other cast. You got all the extras. There was a party in the house. So as you can imagine, a lot of extras, a lot of people around, and you got all the cameras and you got the lights, and bless him, the nerves took hold of him. Right. And he was trying to fucking deliver his lines and he just couldn't. He's like, I'm sorry. And then he said, okay, take a deep breath, try again. And this went on for a few times. And then, of course, because it's becoming a big thing and it's making it even harder and harder. I mean, and I'm like trying to encourage him. Like, you're good, Ian. Fuck these people. Doesn't matter, mate. You're good. He's like, yeah. Thanks, Mike. Anyway, then he fucking stand there. Okay, action. And then all the room's quiet and he just goes,
no.
Fucking fainted. I shouldn't laugh, but if you were there, it was pretty funny.
I've never fainted in my life. I don't think I've ever seen anybody faint. I always feel like fainting is only something that happens in movies, and if somebody does it in real life, they're faking it. But apparently it's I guess it's real. I mean, look, it's not even look, the fact that Joanna Calderwood fainted backstage, that could also be, I mean, exhaustion, the adrenaline dump, like there's more, you know, after the fight, that sort of makes sense. Have we ever seen a fighter faint before coming out to a UFC fight and not be able to make the walk?
Not that I can think of. I mean, there has been all kinds of weird things happen backstage. I don't know, Harrington, if you want to like maybe Google some of the weirdest things to happen right before a UFC fight. There's been some funny stuff and there's been obviously things backstage, but yeah, fainting. I don't think I've heard of that one, but I get it.
Well, remember,
I do.
Shamrock, Ken Shamrock, Kimbo Slice, he cut his eye, right? Like they were backstage the night of the fight doing, just like pad work and like whatever it is. And I guess Ken Shamrock somehow cut his eye like right before he had to make the walk. And that's when Seth Petruzzelli came out and was able to stop Kimbo. But that was one of the I guess, stories backstage where they were like, yeah, they told Seth Petruzzelli they would pay him more if he stayed standing with him, which is a little bit fucking shady on Elite XC.
There's definitely a little bit shady. Oh, stand with him. And then he did stand and he knocked him out. Yeah. So fucking careful what you wish for. But still, yeah, unfortunate for what was his name? He passed away.
Trevin Giles.
Yeah, unfortunate. And of course, Calderwood, but she's fine. She put a statement out afterwards. So we'll go through the fights. We'll do the main and the co-main. Well, first of all, we had a rematch on there, which I don't think you saw. Bobby Green versus Lando Venata. Bobby Green, obviously, he got the win. A very, very good fight, good performance. Both those guys got an extra 50,000.
Awesome.
So well done to both of those guys. That's awesome. All right, co-main event, Joanna Calderwood. Now, the narrative coming into this one versus Jennifer Maia, Calderwood was slated to fight Valentina Shevchenko down the line, probably pretty soon, for the flyweight title. And I'm not sure, what was the circumstances surrounding that? Did somebody fall out, Harrington? Why did she change her opponent, or did she just want to stay active?
No, they were booked to fight at UFC 251. Valentina had to bow out with an injury. She said she was not interested in waiting around. Jennifer Maia's opponent dropped out, obviously, with COVID. So Calderwood stepped in last minute and ended up getting submitted.
When was Calderwood's last fight before that? Just look that up in the meantime. But, I mean, look, you want to hear that from a fighter, right? Like, fuck it. I'm not going to wait. I'll fight. I'll put, you know. Look, if they're the best of the best, they should be able to fight this next person, the champion, whoever it is. But this is the case where, and it's rare we see this, where it really bit her in the ass because she was next in line for a title shot. And now, yeah, that's it. You lose. You're basically at the back of the pack.
Yeah, unfortunately for her. I mean, as you say, she had a title fight. So one would assume that even as a challenger, you know, that would have been her best payday of her career. And had she won, of course, life changes. But she did it. She took on Jennifer Maia. Jennifer looked really good. She was finding a home for that right hand every time. She was getting the better of the striking exchanges. And then I think Joanna caught a kick, forced her down. And then from the back, you know, she pulled off a nice armbar round one. And it fucking sucks. And somebody on Twitter today, I was, you know, asking any suggestion topics for us to talk about. And they mentioned this fight. They said, where do you think she goes now? You know, she's just been beaten. You know, she's got a long road ahead of her to ever get another title fight. And number one, you kind of touched on it a second ago, Lewis. You got to respect what she did. You know what I mean? And I understand her mentality. So number one, I want to stay busy. And secondly, if I can't beat all of these people, then I shouldn't. I've got no business fighting Shevchenko as it is. And I feel like she went in there maybe a little overconfident or respecting her. But whatever, for whatever reason, she definitely lost that fight. As we say, it was an unfortunate armbar. But I was there. I was in that situation myself. I didn't do what she did. I didn't forego a title shot in terms of another fight. But I got to number one contender fights many times. And she's still young enough, you know, as they say, quitters never win. So, you know, what you got to do in those situations, just pat yourself on the back, dust yourself off, say, fuck it, she got me, and learn from it, you know, try and figure out what she did wrong and not make those same mistakes again.
Well, I mean, luckily, I think that, you know, the UFC, you know, recognizes the fact that she came in and it's badass that she took that fight. And, you know, so I think overall, you know, she's probably a win or two away from being right there again. That's another thing. It's 115 pounds. You know, there's not like it's this long list of contenders right there. So we're not, you know, we're not talking about, you know, some of the other divisions. So I don't think it's like the end of the world for her, but good for Jennifer Maia. Jennifer Maia, you know, right there now is right there for a title shot. I believe Dana White actually said she's next in line for a title shot now.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, you know, so there you go. I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, one man struggles while another relaxes or something like that. But whatever, you know, make hay while the sun shines. No, but like take advantage of the situation that presents itself before you. That is an old saying, the old adage of take advantage of the situation that presents itself before you is saying in the book.
The old take advantage of a situation that presents itself before you saying the old Chinese proverb, the Bispings, that's written on the Bisping.
Yes. So listen, commiserations, Joanna, you're a great fighter. You'll be back. Try and in those circumstances, try and take the positivity from the fact that you were in that position in the first place. There's a reason why she was in that position. There's a reason why she had a title fight. So try and hang on to that to remain positive, to have that positive mind frame, and then just get back in the gym and work your ass off. That's all you got to do. And obviously, congratulations to Jennifer Maia. She has a fight with Valentina Shevchenko. I don't see Shevchenko losing anytime soon, but you never know. She might pull off another upset.
Mr. Bisping, we really should take a moment and thank DraftKings for being an incredible sponsor of the show. If you don't know, DraftKings makes watching mixed martial arts that much more exciting. This weekend, we got Derek Lewis versus Olenek happening, and it's already going to be a crazy, exciting event. But the way it works is gambling is fun. This is a different thing. This is fantasy MMA. If you don't know the way it works, all you got to do is you pick six fighters, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up on points for advances, takedowns, and many, many more things. Essentially, you're glued to your TV the entire night because every time there's an advance in position or every time somebody gets a little bit of an advantage, you are moving forward in this game.
Yeah, and the main thing to remember is that you are competing to win a shot at a prize pool of $1 million. All you got to do is download the DraftKings app right now, then use the promo code BYM. That will get you a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's promo code BYM to get a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings, minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Okay, where were we? All right, main event before we get into some of the other news, Lewis. Go ahead.
I'm not going to break it down the way you do, Bisping. Shut up. Stop making me do that. It's embarrassing every time I try to do it.
I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm being a good partner. I'd spoken for a bit. I was throwing it to you.
No. It's fight breakdown time. We throw it to you. You break it down. I go, that's cool. Then I think of some angles, some layman angle. And then you call me an idiot or you agree. And that's the way we break down fights. And that's okay. That's the format going forward. I'm not going to argue with you about this.
It's set in stone. You are putting me under a lot of pressure, though. Like, now I got to deliver. I'm like,
you always deliver. You're literally one of the best at breaking down fights. And this is why I stopped doing it. People can listen to old, before I podcasted with you or did the radio show with you, I used to have a lot of confidence in breaking down fights. And then I started doing it with you, and I started feeling like an asshole. And I was like, I'm not going to break down fights the way Michael Bisping does. So let me sit back as the casual fan and let Bisping break it down like an expert, and let me react to what you say because you have a different insight.
Bisping's breakdown.
Breakdown.
Okay, we need a sound drop there. Bisping's breakdown.
If there's not a fucking Bisping's breakdown drop on this episode, I'm talking about a graphic that's designed with audio, everything perfect by tonight at midnight.
Tonight at midnight. Bisping's breakdown. Down. All right. Anyway, so fucking hell, pressure.
Bisping's breakdown.
Derek Brunson, I'm not sure when his last fight was, but Derek Brunson had some tremendous wins, obviously, over the years. Big knockout over Machida, fought top of the food chain competition, Robert Whittaker, Yoel Romero. I mean, the list goes on. He fought a lot of good guys.
Yeah.
He got beat off a lot of good guys, but he did have some success as well. Problem was, he would always be too aggressive in the first round, often at times leading with his chin. He would get so excited, he would rush forward. He would have his chin exposed whilst throwing big, heavy shots. Now, the thing was, he did have powerful hands and he's a tremendous wrestler, so he had the confidence. But he had a few little things to try and clean up. And it looked like he'd worked on that in this fight against Edmund Shahbazyan. As we know, Shahbazyan was undefeated. Big step up in competition, but undefeated, flashy striker, good knockout power, and was being touted as, you know, a future contender. Unfortunately, he ran into a much more powerful and more experienced fighter. You know, he was tentative in the first round. He took his time. And Shahbazyan looked sharp. He looked good. He landed some good shots here and there. But, you know, round one was close. Brunson did take his time. And I actually tweeted out, and I'd like to expand on that tweet. I tweeted out, said he's got to be careful. Obviously, we're seeing a much more measured approach from Brunson, right? Which is great. You want to see that. But also, you got to be careful that you don't take away from what made you successful in the first place. You know what I'm saying? Going out there and blitzing people and being super aggressive and swinging those fucking hands. I mean, it did work. And it did bring you success, but of course, it also was your downfall on occasion. But you don't always want to totally abandon your strength, your explosiveness, your fast start, your ability to catch them off the hook. You know, some people want to ease into a fight, but if you're a fast fucking starter, you can catch that slow starter when he hasn't really, you know, switched into fight gear just yet. So don't eliminate all that what made you successful in the first place. However, you do want to tweak it. And that's what we saw. Round one, he was a little more measured. Definitely took his time, throwing a lot of kicks, fainting with kicks. Round two was a different scenario. Round two, he actually started doing a lot of damage, got a good takedown. I think the round ended, and this is where the controversy comes in, the round ended with Brunson in mount position, I believe, landing fucking heavy elbows. And as the clock, beep, the buzzer went, it looked like he might have been unconscious. What did you think, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't really tell. I feel like, the buzzer, you stay by the bell. It's a saying, you know, there's a reason you're saved by the bell. It didn't seem like he went unconscious to me. But, you know, look, Herb Dean, he's a great referee. You got to trust the fact that Herb Dean knows what he's doing. So I always sort of defer to the fact that, you know, that he's making the right call. 9 out of 10 times, or 99% of the time, I feel like they make the right call.
Yeah, no, they do. They do. They're great referees. And as we've spoke about, I think we talked about it last week with Dan Hardy and Herb Dean. Herb Dean again. But still, it's hard, man. And as that bell went, as the buzzer sounds, and he's still conscious. I think he was still conscious.
Can you pull it up? Can you pull it to see it again?
Yeah, I'm Brian, not sure. I'd like to see it again if that's possible. But he seemed like he was conscious. And then obviously, you know, he looked like a beaten man because he was a beaten man. He just eaten a lot of shots. He had the full minute to rest. And then when the fight was about to restart, they brought in the doctor. And the doctor, Dana White, had some things to say about this at the post-fight press conference. Wasn't overly negative, but he just said, I don't think that doctor was particularly experienced, because he walked in there and he asked him, do you want to fight? And then Edmund said, yes. And then that was that. Yeah. Of course a fighter is going to say yes. In fact, they have to say yes. Anytime a fighter says, no, I don't want to fight, that is, you know, that's a death sentence for your career. People don't want to see that. People don't want to pay, even if they are paying, or if it's a free card or whatever, to see a guy fight. And then after two rounds, he said, nah, you know what, fuck this. This is hard. I'm done. I don't want to fight. People don't want to see that. And that's a really big problem. So that's where you need coaches, and that's where you need doctors to be the bigger man to step in.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, he's going to say that. You know, here's the thing. I guess when Derek got the stoppage in the third, it was early into the third round, 26 seconds into the third round, and it was by ground and pound, brutal ground and pound. I mean, I think at that point, people are complaining that it might have been an early stoppage.
No,
I don't think it was. I think what happened was he was already beaten coming out of that third round. He was so beaten, and the doctor had to come in and check on him. Once he was down and taking more damage, Herb, I think, did a great job at being an experienced referee and saying, hey, you know what? He's not getting out of this position. He's not defending himself. And that was that. So I thought it was a great stoppage. Yeah. People were trying to say, oh, Herb was trying to make up for the fact that he got called out in the last part.
No.
I don't think so.
I feel what happened there was Herb assessed the situation, saw that he was shaky, saw that he had his ass kicked in the second round and was very, very lucky to be making it to a third, even brought in the doctor to see if he was medically fit to continue. And then when they all said yes, when he said he wanted to, the doctor said, okay, let's go, you know. So Herb gave all the officials the opportunity to stop the fight, you know, his cornerman, the fighter himself, and the doctor. They all signed up and said, no, we'll go. Round three starts, and within seconds, he's back on the ground and he's almost mounted and he's eating fucking heavy shots once again. Yeah. So he stopped it. I think it was 20 seconds into round three, 26 seconds, I think. Now, of course, all that he did there was stop the continuation of the beating, right? At that point, Shahbazyan, God bless him, he's a young guy. He's got a bright future. He's got an excellent career ahead of him. There's no point taking 20 fucking unanswered elbows, you know, just to look tough, you know, to say, oh man, he took a beating. No, fuck that. It's done. You're beaten today. Go home, lick your wounds, rest up, look at the tape, realize what you did wrong, and then try and improve and come back a better guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, to be honest with you, it was the step up in competition right there. I mean, you know, it's not like he lost to some other young, hungry contender. I mean, not that Derek Brunson isn't a young, hungry contender, you know, to a certain degree, but the age difference was kind of interesting. I think Derek Brunson was 38 or 37 years old, with Shahbazyan being only 22 years old. You know, being that young, you know, it's kind of funny because it's a double-edged sword. So he's a lot younger. You know, youth is on your side, but how much was experience a factor going into this fight with Derek Brunson?
Yeah, well, experience is massive. And as we know, in anything, stand-up comedian, you need experience. DJ Mikey B needed experience. As a fighter, you need fucking experience. I'm just looking at the record. So he's got a record of 21 wins, 7 losses. He's on a 3-fight win streak now, Derek Brunson, Edmund Shahbazyan, Ian Heinisch, and Elias Theodorou. Prior to that, he lost to Adesanya, and he lost to Jacare Souza. So again, no shame losing to those two guys. Prior to that, he knocked out Lyoto Machida. Prior to that, he knocked out Dan Kelly. Then it was a decision against Anderson Silva that he lost, and he lost to Robert Whittaker.
And that was
then
a really close Uriah fight with Hall. Anderson, by the way.
Pardon me?
That was a really close fight with Anderson.
Super close fight. Yeah. Super close fight. So then, you know, and then you look at the people that he beat, Lorenz Larkin, Ed Herman, Sam Alvey. So, you know, Brunson's a fucking really, really good fighter, you know, just because he had, well, he was coming off two wins, but, you know, he struggled against the truly elite. Mm. But it looks now that he's made some changes. And listen, he's got all the tools to potentially be a champion one day. Certainly has the power. You know, he has the wrestling ability. He's got the experience. He was always just trying to control the aggression. And he definitely, for my money, looked like he made some improvements there. So well done to him. Unlucky to Shabazzian. All right, let's go through some of these notes, Lewis.
Sure.
The one that really stands out to me, which is big news, that we've been wanting this fight to happen for a while. And I think it tried to be made a few times, but then for whatever reason, it never happened, is that Tyron Woodley is finally happening against Colby Covington.
Yeah.
I'm quoting Harrington's notes here. Woodley is bracing for racist rants. I mean, leading, that's not what he needs to say. This is Harrington's words. Woodley is bracing for racist rants from Covington ahead of their matchup, which still does not have an official date, but he did hint in an interview they are targeting September, October. Here's Woodley's quote. He's going to try and use everything in mental warfare. He's going to try and be racist. He's going to try and talk about stuff from my personal life. He's going to bluff and make up shit about the gym. He's going to ask all these daggone questions because he was in St. Louis with me. So anything he can turn into something, he's going to do that. Guess what? I'm not going to match him. I'm going to match him and make him look stupid.
I feel like he really listed all the things that Covington was going to do. And then at the end, he didn't really have much for it. He's like, he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And then he's going to probably do a little bit of this and then probably he's going to do that. And you know what? I'll be there.
I'll do the same thing, but with more vehemently, you know, with more venom. Yeah, listen, I mean, that's a great fight. Of course it is. We always wanted to see that one, especially when Tyron was the champ and Colby was a contender. Now, of course, situation's changed. Woodley is no longer the champ. Woodley also lost to Gilbert Burns quite badly. So this is a really, really bad time, in my honest, humble opinion, for Tyron Woodley to take on this fight. I respect what he's doing here. You know, it's not an easy matchup. He's in a really tough place. He's lost his last two fights. Of course, he's not in a position where he's going to get cut or anything like that. But if he loses three in a row, albeit to three stellar world-class fighters, one of them being world champion right now.
Yeah, it's all top five guys, top three, honestly, right?
Yeah, there's no shame to that, but it's going to be a long, long process to get back into title contention.
And well, Tyron's also has a thing about him, love him or hate him. He does have like a lot of star quality being a champion. And there's an it factor there with Tyron. I'm a fan of, you know, him as an athlete. I really think he's great. There's just, you know, I don't think Tyron's trying to look for easy fights, obviously. And I think that there's not really many easy fights at 170 pounds anyway. If you're going to fight Covington, I think probably now's the time. Covington's back is against the wall as well. He was embarrassed badly in his last fight. He had his jaw broken. He's sort of been a meme and not really been able to talk the same type of shit the same way that he was. I think it's a close fight, but I think Tyron's able to win this fight. I really do. I don't know. Whatever it is, I just think Tyron, he hates him. He's got like a fire. I think Tyron hating this guy is probably going to, you know, fuel him to just be that much more motivated. And I think if Tyron's really motivated, I think Tyron's just better than Colby.
No, well, listen, he certainly has the ability to beat him. That's for sure. Tyron's problem is that he's his own worst enemy in terms of his output. His output is just what kills him. He doesn't do much these days. He needs to be busier. He needs to go forward. He needs to be aggressive. If he does that, of course he can win this fight. But if he skims around the center of the octagon, leaning back against the fence, looking for one overhand right or looking for one powerful low kick, that's not going to beat somebody like Colby Covington. Now, okay, great. You hit him with that big shot. You drop him with the right hand. You look like the fucking man. Of course, that's great. But if you don't land that one shot and you're just looking for that one home run punch the whole time, you're going to look stupid at the end of it when Colby outworks you for 25 minutes. You're not going to look good there. It's going to look bad. But also at the same time, I understand why you would want to take this fight. As you said, they don't like each other. And secondly, being Tyron Woodley, being the champion, you don't then want to go start fighting mid-pack level guys. So he's kind of in a really bad situation. And I guess in some ways, you know, Darren Till is kind of in a similar scenario, right? He lost a couple, had a great win against a great opponent, Kelvin Gastelum, and then just loses a fucking razor close fight to Robert Whittaker. Now Darren Till's calling out Jack Hermanson. Right? Mm-hmm. Which, of course, another top of the food chain guy. Right? And if he was to beat Jack Hermanson, then, of course, he's back in those title discussions. If you take somebody that's towards the bottom of the pack, the rankings, they're still just as good. They're almost just as dangerous, right? But they just haven't found the success lately. But if you get beat at one of those guys, then your stock really drops, because there's no shame to losing to guys that are all in the top five. Because one more good win, you're fucking right back up there, baby boy. You're fighting for the belt in your next fight. And that's what Tyrone's doing here. If he loses to Colby Covington, all right, it's a shame. But he's still one of the elites. But if he loses to someone that's ranked number 12...
Well, that was almost the problem with Gilbert Burns. And this is, you know, with all due respect to Gilbert Burns, but Gilbert Burns was, that's a bad loss for Tyron. You know what I'm saying? Because Gilbert Burns wanted that shine off of Tyron. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, it was technically a step down in competition in terms of rankings and perception at the very least. So he can't go and fight another up and coming contender. He loses to another up and coming contender. Then he's the dude that people are making their name off of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just messaging Harrington on the chat, which is very noisy and very loud. And it says, basically, I'm just going to say, get ready for fucking hammer fisting, Harrington, okay? People enjoyed it.
No, hammer fisting isn't until Thursday. Remember, Monday's questions.
I want it today. I'm going in hard.
Bisping's the one who gets mad at me when I go off topic. I mentioned fucking Rabbit Day. Holy shit, the world is ending. The sky's falling.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever fucking heard. And do not, whilst living in a house that I paid the rent for, tell my family that they need to do Rabbit on the first Monday of every month.
They were so engaged and excited. You should have seen the happy faces on these kids. Like, they've never been able to have a little fun, silly tradition, are they not allowed to believe in Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny? Do you freak out? Do you let them know that the Tooth Fairy is not real, Bisping?
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of notes on here, and we're not going to go into them. We're not going to break them all down. A lot of it's tittle-tattle. A lot of it's not really that good. A lot of it's going to take us a long time to convey. So we're going to give Harrington a time to hammer fist it all together in one.
Well, the idea was...
I get it. The stories that we don't get to.
For the week.
Yeah, but for the day. For the day. For the day.
Why? We discussed the show. We said Monday's questions, Thursday's hammer fisting with Harrington.
I must have missed that part. Okay, fair enough. You never said that.
I swear on my son's fucking life.
Never do that.
Like, I hate to be this guy, Mike, but that's 100% the plan we have.
Yeah, yeah, hold on. No. Hey, listen, you're actually fired. I take back earlier statement, because I'm like, oh, he hasn't chimed in once. I've messaged him multiple fucking times, right? But the sycophant of the... He's trying to fire you, Harrington, but all that is that some... He shows up on the camera, is that, oh, yeah, it's true. Lewis, love you, buddy. Me love you long time. Shut the fuck up. Okay, maybe that one little bit... Did you get off the screen? I don't want to see you. No one else can see you. God's sake. My God. Oh, my God.
So
makes me sick. Well, go ahead then. Drive the ship, Lewis.
Well, hold on. There's a few stories here that I think are really good that I want to touch on. What about this Paulie Malignaggi story, which is kind it's almost kind of funny.
I haven't read it. I saw the word Paulie Malignaggi, and I skimmed by it, right? He's not big to the MMA community. He's not even big that in the boxing world anymore. He was a great boxer in his day. I'm sure he's a lovely man, and I wish him all the best. But still, he's not relevant. But break it down. What is the story?
Well, he was fired from Showtime after he did, I guess, a racial breakdown of boxing history.
I kind of want to hear this. Actually.
It's pretty funny, dude. It's pretty funny.
Give me the deets.
So he goes, I think the boxing has had its course in history with certain demographics more than others, right? So like 100 years ago, maybe Irish fighters were better, you know? Then you have the Jews and the Italian. Then the Italians kind of came in. Italian-Americans, anyway. And then I think... the African American fighter became the most dominant fighter in the sport in the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, you know? And then he goes on to say, this is where it gets bad.
I'm kind of in a fucked situation, you know, whether I agree with him or not, because he's just been fired off Showtime. So I'm like, all right, I'm with it. Okay, so it gets worse.
He hasn't
worse.
Said anything that crazy. Yeah, it gets worse, all right?
It gets worse, okay.
So then he goes, I don't think it's great to have the race discussion because it's just going to coordinate division. But if Devin's going to be the one to bring it up, I don't know if Devin got the memo, but it's no longer the time of the African American anymore in boxing. It's the Eastern European that's become the dominant species in boxing. So I think saying something like that can be actually very dangerous. So now he says that, and you're like, okay, chill.
Well, that's a dumb comment straight away. Nothing to do with the racial connotations that are implied there. It's simply, yes, Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko are Europeans and they're white guys. So let's just say, oh, it's their time. No, he could have been, Tyson Fury could have been born 100 years ago. Anthony Joshua is a black male who comes from London. Do you know what I mean? I don't agree with that whatsoever. Yes, certain parts of the world have always had big boxing histories simply because they focus on that sport there. But I don't really think anything of this. It's their time, or certainly a racist time, but go on.
So then it's he sort of ironically continues to put his foot in his mouth and dig his own grave here, because he's essentially saying, he's like, I don't think we should have this conversation because everyone's sensitive. But then he continues to say, I try to not join the race conversation because of this one. This is one of the exact examples of why I don't believe there's racial oppression in 2020 in this century. I believe that there has been, sure, but I don't believe that there's any racial oppression today. I believe it's all made up and it's exaggerated. This is exactly one of the reasons why the fact that the black fighter can say that and not pay any price financially, but if a white fighter said that about a black fighter, he'd probably lose his TV contract and probably TV networks wouldn't touch him.
Say what?
That there's no racial oppression anymore.
A black man can say that, but a white man can't. Is that what he's saying?
I believe...
Anyway, who moves on? It's a delicate subject.
It's kind of funny that he's having a conversation about how you could lose your TV contract for saying this, and then Showtime ended up firing him over it anyway.
Yeah, maybe that's not the only reason he got fired. Who knows? Do you know what I mean? Maybe his performance was subpar. Maybe he was dropping. Maybe he was late to the meetings. Maybe Harrington. Maybe
people didn't like him. Didn't like him backstage, because that's the other thing. It's like, that's not that bad. Like, what he said is kind of ignorant, right? There's no racial oppression. Yes. It's ignorant. However, I don't know. He's a fucking, you know, I'm not listening to a former fighter, you know, on a sports broadcast because I want to hear his opinions on social issues. You want to hear him talk about fighting. So he can misspeak. That's okay. I don't really have a problem with somebody misspeaking or just sort of like, you know, we do it all the time. We say shit on this podcast and we're like, ah, well, I didn't mean that. I'm kidding. Whatever. It's just sort of like, maybe people just don't like who he is behind the scenes because.
Yeah. You know, But I mean, obviously, I can't speak to that. I don't know the man. I don't even think I ever met him either. Brian did just messages there, though. He said species. Brian, you care to elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, he said
I think that's the reason why he got in trouble.
In what context did he use the word species?
He called the Eastern European the dominant species in boxing.
Yeah, he says it's no longer the time of the African American in boxing. It's the Eastern European that's become the dominant species. But that's just an ignorant. He's not saying. First of all, he was saying European species. So he's not even saying like black people are a different species. He's a fucking dummy. Just misused the word. That's what happened there.
I totally agree. I'm not defending him. Obviously, he misspoke, and unfortunately, you're gonna have to pay the consequences. But I think there's maybe something to what you said. Again, we don't know the situation, but as you say, backstage, behind the scenes, you've got to be a good co-worker. Not saying he isn't. We know nothing of the situation. We just say maybe all this stuff snowballs or gets together, and collectively, you know, they're like, yeah, well, maybe we've had enough of this guy. Because if you're a pain in the ass to work with, let's say you show up late, you're unprofessional, you're not researched, you haven't done the preparation necessary, and then also in between an interview, you're saying some dumb fucking comments and dumb remarks.
You're describing my career.
But certainly at this time. Look at all the racial divide and racial tension that's going on in this world. So then for him to come out and say that, listen, I'm not condemning him, but I'm like, maybe stay away from that kind of stuff. You know,
yes. You have a job.
We're literally discussing it right now on our podcast.
Yeah, but I don't think we're having a racially insensitive conversation. I don't think we're offending anybody. We offend people all the time, but this isn't offensive, you know. I think that you have to know what's going on. Like, you have a job with the UFC, you have a job with ESPN. There are certain just things you're not going to joke about on the air or off the air because you understand the game that you're playing. And it's the same thing with me. I make jokes on Legion of Skanks that I won't make on this show or I won't make on a television show because that's not the game I'm playing there. So, okay. So look, we have a little bit more time here. I think some of these topics we can make them hammer fisting with Harrington's. And if you feel very strongly about it, we could do it now, or we could just save it for Thursday.
No. Listen. The fucking judge, jury, and executioner, that is Mike Harrington, has spoken. Okay. Not only, you know, I'm the only motherfucker that promotes this on social media to my millions. And I looked at your feed the other day. I could not see a single one, but it's okay. You and Brian, you and Harrington, you call the shots. I'm going to bring up your social media page right now. Gomez Comedy. Let's have a look, baby boy. There's not a single post, but it's fine. You and Harrington get to call the shots. I guarantee.
I literally tweet it out and put it on Instagram every single fucking week.
Tweet,
I have
no, we're
12
talking
podcasts a week.
We're talking, you know, visual media here.
You gotta teach me how to swipe up.
There's an anxiety attack. You can't move. I'm having an anxiety attack about the amount of anxiety attacks promos. Believe you me, fuckface. Where is it, Harrington? Oh, but yeah, no. Lewis says Thursday we'll do hammer fisting. Kiss my fucking ass. We'll do hammer fisting on Thursday. Let's do the questions.
All right, let's get some questions going. Real quick, plugs. If you guys love the show, you guys need to go subscribe on iTunes right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking and a positive review. It's so important. That's how people find the show. Also, just share the show. Share the show with 5 friends. Right now, we are the number 1 mixed martial arts comedy podcast in the world. Undoubtedly, it's not even up for debate. So share with some friends. Tell some people about it. Go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, hit that notification button as well. And if you guys want access to the entire on-demand library of the Believe in Me podcast, you can find it at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM for a 14-day free trial. And if you guys want to send in video questions, fan art, or anything really, bympod@gmail.com is the email address.
I'm just looking at Harrington's Instagram page. It's the M Harrington for anybody that wants to give him a follow. As I say, a lot of questions. Without a country, that's getting advertised. Anxiety attack, getting advertised a lot.
Mike, Harrington doesn't have a following. I don't care if Harrington promotes this show at all. I don't want him to promote the show, to be honest.
It's the essence of it. It's the good naturedness of it. It's that, okay, it won't be effective, but at least, I mean, and then you look at his bio. Look at his bio. Producer at Gas Digital Network. Check out my show. Anxiety. Me. That's all I'm seeing here, Harrington. You're not being a team player. Check out my show, Anxiety Attack, at the New York Comedy Club, East Village. Use promo code AA for discounted tickets.
You know you're just promoting his show, right?
Well, who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? He's got no following anyway. Harrington, you're dead to me. Dead. All right then, Brian. I believe we have a couple of good questions this week. Remember, if you want to send in some media content, send it into bympod@gmail.com. We do love to have your input on the show. Brian, we got 2 good questions this week. Tee them up, buddy. Let's go.
All right. This one is from Dallas Singer.
Dallas Singer. I love it.
What's up, Mike and Lewis? Got Dallas from Staten Island, New York. My question is for Lewis. Doing big things, moving out to Jersey. We're real happy for you. Now, when you do secure Gomez Manor, will DJ Mikey B make the trip over, provide the live music for the first party ever at the new house? Fans would love to see it. We'll love you to live stream it. You guys could wrestle in the front yard, karate in the garage, pets' heads are falling off. We don't know. We don't care. We want to see it. Good luck. Fuck Harrington always.
Love it. Yeah, it's a sentiment.
It's a great question, and I like the scene that he set. It sounds like fun, you know. But I'm not going to waste. I'll come to the party if I'm given an invite. I will come, but I'm not going to DJ. I'm not going to DJ there.
DJ Mikey B is way better at DJing than you guys think. I thought when he said it, I just figured, all right, he fucking spins a record like an asshole. Fine. I
DJed professionally for 15 years. I'm a good DJ.
It meant nothing to me. I'm telling you right now, for 5 years or so that we were doing the show, I rolled my eyes every time you mentioned your DJ equipment. You didn't see it. I was doing it behind your back. I got to be honest with you. I was like, okay, DJ.
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw the eye rolls. I could hear the insincerity of your compliments. I could hear the scoffs and see them at the same time because we now do the video podcast. Before, when it was just audio, I could hear the scoffs, but now I even see them. So, I get it.
Now you know. So, but I will tell you right now, after seeing DJ Mikey B in person, it is way more impressive. He can do all the scratching shit.
But that's easy. It's not easy. Takes time. But here's the thing. No one's going to appreciate it. I have a very niche style of music that I DJ. And none of you guys are going to be into it whatsoever. I like house. I like trance. You know, I like some hard trance. House and trance, basically. You don't know shit about house and trance. I'm not going to come up there and you all want fucking Megadeth and Ozzy Osbourne and fucking Nine Inch Nails and all that shit. And I come up. You're like, what the fuck is this shit? Okay.
Now for a party, it would be awesome.
Ridiculed.
No, we would, for a party, that would be really cool. I'd be, you know, nobody wants to listen to Nine Inch Nails at a fucking house party. I'd love for you to DJ the house party. If DJ Mikey B will DJ my first housewarming party, it would be a dream. So it's not a question for me. That's a question for DJ Mikey B.
A dream. It would be a dream. Well, I mean, Jesus Christ, who am I to rain on your parade and not give you your dream? You never know.
Stop trying to destroy my dreams.
It's a possibility. Brian, we got one more?
Yeah, we got this one from Michael Janane.
Michael Janane?
Not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's a big dude.
Yo, Bisbing, I got a fitness question for you.
Whoa.
And then, Lewis, I got something for you too afterwards.
He is a big dude.
You being a pro athlete, can you be in a physical condition to where you can fight for 3 rounds if you drink like 10 to 15 beers a day? Obviously, I'm asking that because I used to be in some kind of shape. And now I drink a lot.
And so pause it for a second, Brian, because it's so funny because this guy definitely was in shape. Like all those you don't get those tattoos unless you're jacked. And then you fall out of shape and then you have these awesome tattoos on your stomach and chest, but it just doesn't look good.
Yeah. But let's be honest. You are correct, Lewis. But he doesn't look that bad either. He still looks decent. He looks like a big dude. You know what I mean? You could tighten up a little bit if you cut the booze out, which is my big thing right now. I'm trying to not drink beer. Oh, God, it's tough. I'm just developing a serious drink problem because it's nothing but 40% proof spirits. Beers are a lot less damaging, but more damaging to the waistline. Yes is the answer to the question. So he's asking, can he have a heavy drink problem? Not a heavy drink problem. Can he drink 10 beers a night and still be in shape to do 3 rounds at a high level? I would say the answer to that is yes. I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't say that that is the optimum thing. It's not the optimum way for a career, an athlete's performance, to be getting drunk every night. But you can still do it. You see, if you can still get out of bed in the morning and train and push yourself. But that's the problem, because if you're doing 10, 15 beers, you're going to feel like shit in the morning. And then you show up at the gym and then you have a shitty training session. And then you don't want to do the second one in the afternoon because now you're exhausted. You know what I'm saying? So I don't feel like if you did it once, you can still get away with it. And certainly when you're younger, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I could go get shit-faced and the next day wouldn't bother me whatsoever. But as you get older, those hangovers, they get worse and worse. I know you just drinking, or you're smoking cigarettes as well and all that type of stuff. Obviously, smoking cigarettes isn't going to be a good thing for your athletic performance. But just drinking booze by itself, I mean, I wouldn't recommend it all the time, but you can get away with it here and there.
It's almost like working out with a weighted vest on. It's going to make it difficult, but if you're used to training, doing that, and you're used to, you know, sparring and getting up every day and doing it, what would really be the difference in a fight? You know, that's just sort of what you do and it's part of your regimen. Like, I'm not in great shape right now, but I've been sparring for the past, you know, maybe like 4 weeks or so, twice a week. And even just now, even though I'm not eating great and I've been drinking, my diet hasn't been good at all, and I'm still fat as shit, but my cardio in sparring and kickboxing and in the gym, it's like 10 times as good as it was just a few weeks ago, just because I'm adapting my body to it. So
yeah,
now I want to make it better. Now I want to, like, you know, I know if I eat right and I know if I'm not drinking, it's going to make it that much easier. So yeah, for sure. He had another part to that question though, Brian.
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing as well. Because like when I was training for fights, typically I do an 8-week training camp, there'd always be one night where I messed up. Like, people think I have this bloody drink problem. I don't have a drink problem. I have the opposite of a drink problem. You know, I have a little drink and it feels good. I try to always drink less because, you know, you want everything in moderation. But still, when I was training for a fight, I didn't drink. Excuse me. But generally, there'd always be one night throughout camp where, you know, you didn't plan it, but it just ends up happening. And it would often start like this. Oh, just have a glass of wine. Well, you know, I've been training hard. My weight's good. It's coming down low. And they say a glass of wine is medicinal. So we'd have a glass of wine. And that goes out. Ooh, that just hit the spot real nice. I'm like, let's have another. So we might as well finish the bottle. You know what I mean? Then we open another bottle. And before you know, you're drunk and this and that. Then you wake up the next day. You regret it.
You're surrounded with cocaine baggies, hookers. You're like, what happened here?
This really escalated quick. And then your coach is there. Perillo shows up. He's like, let's go, baby boys. Like, this is a terrible environment for this fight. No, you can afford yourself a little glass of wine here and there as well. But generally not a good idea. But yeah, there you go. Next part of the question.
No delts, no nothing anymore. But can you be in shape and drink 10, 15 beers a day and be ready for a fight? So now my next question is, Lewis, thought maybe it's not a question, maybe it's a jab, but I'm undefeated. I've had one amateur MMA fight probably 9 years ago. I'm 6'4", 240. What's up, Gomez? Put that motherfucking strap on the line, baby. Let's get it. All right. Peace out, yo.
What's this guy's name again, Brian?
His name is Michael Jenné.
Well, Michael Jenné.
I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Michael Jenné is going to fuck you up, Lewis.
You think so? You have no faith. You have no 100, faith.
Bro, look at that guy. Listen, he might have a very, very strong drinking problem. 10 it's to 15
fucking
beers
alcoholic, dude.
Per
it's
night.
Fucking...
Michael, get a hold of yourself. 6'4". Used to be in shape. Covered
in
tattoos.
Liver, he's
going to
explode.
He's going to beat the fuck out of you. I already know what you're going to say. He's not a big enough name. You've had one fight. Amateur fight in a rash guard, and you're already pulling that game. I only want a big name. Sorry, he's not high enough up the rankings.
I already have a
me.
Fight. I'm fighting Jason Ellis in January. But here's what I'll say, because I do need sparring partners, right? Ooh. If this guy wants to come to New York and spar with me, I'll spar with him for the show, and we'll see. We'll see if Michael Bisping, if his prediction was correct. I need big, tough guys to fucking spar with and kick me around a little bit. So, yeah, hopefully this guy's good. If he wants to come, I swear to God, we'll tape it for the show. He can kick my ass. And
well, in the next week or two, I'm going to come to New York and we're going to do some in person, because it's been a while and I got some free time right now. So I'm going to come up, and you never know. If he is somewhat local, Michael Jenné, Britt, come on down.
Where's Michael Jenné from? Do we know?
I do not.
Oh, we'll see.
Yes. So there you go.
Once in a lifetime opportunity, Michael.
I should come up anyway, and I'll do some training with you.
Please. Shout out to Yo Kratom for sponsoring my entire fight camp. Now you can check out my brand new web series on my YouTube channel, which is Luis J. Gomez Fight Journal. So maybe Bisping will be on one of the first few episodes. What?
Luis J. Gomez Fight Journal. Jesus Christ. I mean, come. You are disrespecting all those fighters out there, right?
Oh, I'd be embarrassed. Would I be embarrassed? Ah, whatever. You're disrespecting all the podcasters out there and comedians, fucking asshole.
You are mocking this sport. Oh, Fight Camp. Fight Journal with Luis J. Gomez.
Yeah.
That's a good name. I like it.
Solid name. It's my Fight Journal. It's an inside look at my Fight Camp every week.
Yeah, well, enjoy. I hope it fucking does massive numbers for you. I hope everyone watches it and learns nothing, because they ain't going to learn shit. But I'll come up. I'll happily beat your ass for an episode.
I would love it.
All right, we'll be back Thursday. Harrington will hammer fist on Thursday. We will stick to the story of the show. We'll have a great show planned. In the meantime, look after yourself.